Season 1, Episode 2, The Knot Date, written by Becky Sabetta. On July 14th, 2017, the world as we Earthlings knew it changed forever, though no one realized it at the time. It was one of the clearest nights that the sprawling neighborhoods of Kirkfield, Connecticut had seen all summer. Some even said that they could see other planets. But that night, they saw a shooting star. NASA hadn't predicted it. No local stargazing groups had, either. It wasn't even predicted by the planetarium. Still, it quickly filled up local Instagram feeds and showed up on the news the next day, only to be long forgotten by the time school rolled around in the fall. But anyone who knew anything about astronomy knew that there was something special about this shooting star, because while it streaked across the sky like a shooting star, there was one major difference. It was bright purple. And shooting stars are rarely bright purple.
I always knew about shifting. The guards would entertain the passing kids by taking on different forms, and sometimes their skin would fracture. But we all thought it was the coolest thing in the entire solar system, possibly even the galaxy. We'd spend hours listening to their tales of how the cosmos created the world and how it blessed each of its children with the ability to change their forms. But humans never got that blessing. It's not a known fact. No one even knows of Earth, just a blip in a tiny, uninhabitable solar system in a section of the galaxy that no one ever travels to. It seems like it could be just like the planets I visited when I was younger, but none of them were ever confined to a single form. Now that I'm older, the cosmos doesn't satisfy me as much as other things. I've spent the past 3 years trying to understand what makes them so different, but I'm not making much progress. Maybe it's something different in their genetic code, or because being alone changes you as a person. Part of me wonders if I'll ever know. I think the mystery is part of the appeal. Unless I someday get a job in a laboratory that samples human DNA, I doubt I'll ever be given a chance to analyze the differences. Even then, I'm not sure I'd be able to understand it all with a lot of research. Translators are great at translating words, but terrible when it comes to translating concepts. That's why classes like biology last year took more time for me to wrap my head around. Suddenly remembering basic 6 in biology lessons from tutoring sessions back home certainly does not help. I have to keep reminding myself that humanity hasn't even figured out how to easily synthesize organic matter yet. My old world, my old home, prioritized science over culture. We had traditions, sure, but they always seemed to be built towards advancing the 6 in state of mind. I still remember how Nad was paraded around the first high Sunday that she was alive for. Everyone kept marveling over how well her parts worked, but I kept trying to focus on how amazing she was as a person. If she had been born here on Earth and not on Aramex, I think other people would have celebrated her for being Nadira, not for being a collection of codes and metal. Maybe I'm jumping to conclusions. I've studied enough worlds to know that none of them are perfect. I'm rambling, I know, but I like focusing on philosophical things when I'm sitting here in my bedroom tinkering away with a pod that will never again fly in the sky. I find comfort in the thoughts I've had 100 times before when I'm confronted with just how small I am compared to the universe, and how different Earth culture can be from my own.
September 1st, 2019. Dear Diary, I still can't believe that today happened. The planetarium was as cool as it always is. It doesn't get as much funding as it should, but the exhibits were just like what I remembered. And the show was better than the last one, and Oliver was, well, today wasn't what I was expecting. He wasn't what I was expecting. Most of the people in our grade hate the planetarium because of the free field trips they offer to students. We went there at least 10 times in elementary school, and that was before they started getting the new shows. But Oliver never went on those trips, and something tells me he would have been just as interested, even if he had. Oliver's new to the subject. He didn't even know the difference between astronomy and astrology, and we even had this fun conversation about I probably should just summarize first, shouldn't I? We got there right at noon. Getting there wasn't as easy as either of us had guessed, though. The planetarium is within walking distance from my house, a really long walk, but it would have been impossible for Oliver to get there. We had to use a ride-sharing app to get there instead. It was my first time ever inside of one. It was kind of scary. I've never been in the car with a complete stranger before, and I still don't feel like I'm all that close to Oliver. But Oliver takes them all the time to games and parties. He told me himself. His parents are always working. My mom is, too, but there was something sad about his voice. Even though this was the first time we were hanging out outside of school, I wanted to give him a hug. I think there was more to his relationship with his parents than he was letting on, but I don't want to push him about it. We barely know each other. Anyways, the driver was in the front seat. She was nice. At least, I think she was. She didn't really say anything. She just checked that we were her ride when we got there, and made sure we buckled our seatbelts. I think she might have thought we were a little more than just two classmates hanging out as potential friends. Can I call us that yet? From the way that she was watching how close her hands were in the back seat. At first, neither of us said anything, but then Oliver started talking. I've always thought that Oliver was cooler and more confident than I'd ever be, when he's apparently a rambler like me. He kept apologizing for it even after I said I was just the same way. I don't remember if that was the reason why we started laughing or not, but I was feeling so good by the time we finally reached the planetarium that I told the driver, "Thank you," louder than I ever have. And then I immediately regretted it. The show we wanted to see was at 3, so we spent the next 3 hours exploring the planetarium and its grounds together. It still feels like it's August today, but the trees in the planetarium's garden gave us plenty of shade while we walked outside. We kept trying to read all the scientific names on all of the little signs beside the little different plants, but neither of us are good at saying Latin. We were giggling so hard by the time we finally slipped inside. Once we were in there, Oliver kept asking me questions about the exhibits they had. I wasn't able to answer them all, but he seemed all right with that. They updated the one on the shooting star, by the way. It took all my focus not to start talking about it around Oliver. They mostly just clarified the accounts of it, but they added a tiny little section about the theory I've had. No one online ever seems to have noticed what I did, but he has to know about it. But I wanted to pretend that I was normal for once, that I'm not the girl who saw an alien spaceship the summer before freshman year. People don't bully me about it. Kirkfield High School doesn't have a bullying problem like that. But it still hurts when I know people are excluding me because they don't know how to deal with the kind of person I am. I don't think I fit into the perfect picture of a girl in her junior year of high school. I know that true friends accept each other for who they are, for all their talents, and for all of their faults. I know my mom and Reem would tell me to give Oliver the cold shoulder if he suddenly started ignoring me, but they don't get it. It's been a long time since mom was my age, and Reem knows a different kind of loneliness. It's the kind of loneliness you feel in a big empty house when no one else is in there. I know that loneliness, too. But Reem doesn't know the loneliness of feeling like a room is empty, even though you're standing there as part of a crowd. He doesn't know how much I worry that I'll end up in another group project where I keep hoping someone will invite me over to work on it, only giving up hope when we finally do a presentation. He doesn't know what it's like to spend lunch at the very end of a table filled with people I don't really know, scrolling through my phone because no one ever starts conversations with me, and I'm too tired to keep doing it myself. I need a school friend, and I want that friend to be Oliver Webb more than anything. Back to the show. The show was about the constellations in the autumn sky. If the exhibits don't bore people our age, it's the shows that do. But it didn't bore him. He kept staring up at it, whispering about how beautiful it looked. I could hear him repeating the names of the constellations under his breath. He wanted to memorize them all. I didn't tell him that I didn't think he could, but then he pointed all of them out on the poster I got for my wall. There were only a few he missed, but still, he memorized them. It took me an entire month to. He's the smartest student in our entire school, but wow. Just wow. That was all I could think about as I went to get a poster and a new pin. This time, a shooting star, for my vest. How could someone possibly memorize all those stars so quickly? I'd never seen anyone do that before. It was only when we went to the ice cream shop that I could finally stop thinking about how much of a miracle today was. The plain vanilla ice cream he got kind of broke some of the illusion, but the rest was broken when he asked about the difference between astronomy and astrology. He blushed when I stared at him. I can't believe he actually gets embarrassed around people. And the blush only got worse when I started to explain the difference. It's all right that he doesn't know. Not everyone does. Astrology scares me. It says that stars will decide your fate, and I don't want my fate already decided. That would mean everything I've been through is just part of the natural order, and that it means nothing when I overcome it because it was predestined from the start. Oliver asked me what my sign was after my explanation. I really didn't want to talk about it, but I mustered up the courage, because isn't that what you do with friends, right? You leave your comfort zone to make them happy, and to try to understand them more as a person. While I don't think Oliver being an Aries and me being a Taurus has much impact on the spinning of the world, I think it did bring us closer. We're going to sit together at lunch on Monday. I'm scared, but I'm also excited. I don't know much about Oliver's friends. We've never really talked, even though Lucy always gives me a look out of the corner of her eye when she thinks I'm not looking. But if I want to be friends with Oliver, becoming friends with Lucy is a bridge I need to someday cross. Well, it's already 11. I probably should be getting to bed now. Maybe staying up a little longer to talk to Reem wouldn't hurt. I can't wait to tell Reem all about today. I can't wait to tell Mom about today. She had to work late today and only just got home, so I'll have to tell her during our Sunday walk tomorrow. She's going to be so excited. I wonder if she remembers what Oliver looks like from the picture she's seen in my freshman and sophomore yearbooks.
My form's rarely constant. I don't make the changes too obvious at school. I'll add a little mole where no one can see, like underneath my t-shirt, or make freckles so faint that our classmates question if they were a trick of the light. I even made my hair black at Halloween last year as part of my vampire costume. Everyone thought it was temporary hair dye. And when I'm out of school, that's when I let myself have fun. I try coming up with a new person to be every week. I'll make myself tall one week, just to see what it would be like, and then make myself shorter the next. I'll play around with my hair. Most of the time I do it in places where people don't question a stranger. The park, the store, just walking around a neighborhood a few blocks over from my own. Other times, Nad and I go to cities and towns as far as we can possibly get from Kirkfield. Nad's not as into form changing as I am. She's always worried someone will somehow figure out that I'm all of the people. But she never has a problem with doing it when it's useful. I guess that's the perfect way to describe her. She's very business-oriented. I don't think I would have passed half of my classes if it wasn't for her help and organization skills. But Nad's amazing organizational skills aside, changing my form is part of how we keep people from realizing that we're living on our own without any adults. I pretend to be your dad, of course. I give myself the brown hair her current body has and a nice set of hazel eyes to go against her green. I'm not really sure if I'm doing the adult thing right. No one's questioned it so far. Which I guess is a pretty good thing for when I actually am one someday. I try not to think about that. And Nad's amazing when it comes to pretending to be my mom. I'll upload her to the spare body I made for her after we first got to Earth, and then we'll go to the school conferences and pretend that she's my mom. I'm not sure how she does it, but she always knows just the right thing to say. There was this one time where my math teacher kept berating me for passing notes in class to Nad, and she even pretended to scold me about it. We laughed about it the entire walk home. I tell myself I'm changing my form all the time because it's a good exercise for my body. But Sometimes I wonder if I'm doing it because I'm scared people will see the true me. I try to be truthful around the people Nad and I regularly interact with, But it's hard when you have an image to maintain. If everyone likes me, then I don't have to worry about people trying to find out things about me. Same thing with Ned. It's my responsibility to be likable. It always has been. It's so tiring sometimes. But listen to this, computer. Did you know that there was a time where the perfect American family was a suburban house, a white picket fence, a pet, usually a dog, and 2.5 children? It's a good thing they don't still cut children in half. We have a suburban house and a white picket fence, but we don't have a dog. There's only 2 of us, and the perfect family probably had a parent or 2. Dad and I make by, of course. I don't think we need more than just us, but sometimes I like to imagine the lives we could have led before everything. I'm trying to make this sound cheerful. Today was a good day. But I never can truly keep a smile on my face when I'm tired and alone in my room. Who am I supposed to be smiling for? Myself? I know that it's fake. My house is the one place in the entire world, no, the entire galaxy, where I can be myself. I don't want to be someone else here. But I can never be Codex again. The real Codex, not the Codex who was always dressed in uncomfortable, formal clothing and wasn't allowed to be a kid. And Ned and I both know that. Extraterrestrial is an indie podcast written and produced by Becky Sabetta. Becky also voices Charlie Hart. Benedict Pavlovsky provides the voice for Codex. All music in this episode is by Becky Sabetta. And the alert sound effects are courtesy of Zapsplat.com. Episodes are posted on the first Saturday of every month on Buzzsprout, Spotify, and wherever else you access your podcasts. Check out more about Extraterrestrial and the work that went into it on its Instagram at extraterrestrial.podcast.